with a metta practice that we started a couple of days ago, and just to try a little extension on that towards compassion. Just a meditation together, like we have done on Monday, with a little bit of guidance, just like the metta meditation. And the idea, if we have practiced like with the energy or the attitude, the idea of metta on the out-breath, you know, either using some phrase that you recite internally to express your well-wishing towards other people, yourself, whatever, always on the out-breath. So the extension towards compassion would be to then allow ourselves to be touched by pain or suffering on the in-breath. And continuing with the kindness response on the out-breath. So compassion, you know, we all know what kind of compassion is, precisely that, no? Allowing ourselves to be touched by pain, by suffering, feeling this, that suffering, and maybe also, of course, usually, I mean, it's an active thing, compassion is to be moved to help. But we also know we feel certainly we have limited capacities with that. Sometimes we build up defenses against compassion of various types. I mean, there can be things like compassion fatigue, isn't it? Maybe also particularly in our modern kind of world, this information overload, we always kind of bombarded, but the news are usually mostly about bad things happening. We have received so many messages that might ask for compassion, for feeling this, or actually also to act, no? Because it's a natural response. Like I probably said, or did I say it? Maybe not. But when the heart is undefended, is open, we usually say that the human heart is naturally inclined towards kindness. We feel kind when we are defended. Now, if that kindness, that natural kindness of the open heart meets with suffering, then it will naturally feel compassion. And we usually feel compelled to do something. We can see that with children. I remember a friend of mine telling me that. You might have had similar experiences, like if you go with a child through the town and there are homeless people, something that often like children very responsible, they haven't yet, you know, all the sophisticated views and defenses, and they just respond, you know, want to respond to say, oh, you know, what is wrong with this man or with this woman, you know, and daddy, help, you know. And you feel kind of maybe you do something, or you feel put on the spot and embarrassed. I think principle, this is just human nature, isn't it? We want to somehow be able to help. And yet in particular, we can't always help. No? And in particular in the modern world, where we're so related to potentially to so many people, and we're getting so many messages of need, I think that can enforce maybe sometimes, of course there are other reasons as well, but our defenses against even feeling the pain, because it is accompanied with feeling helplessness. And it just, that's not something that's a form of dukkha. So it's one of the worst you don't really like to feel. And so we can easily build up all kinds of defenses from, you know, denial or cynicism or whatever. You know, our range is pretty wide. So this compassion meditation, just a simple exercise, it's just a simple gesture, isn't it? We trust, you know, on the open, the kind heart. When we breathe out, we just share this sense of well-wishing, of kindness. And then when we breathe in, it's that movement of taking any kind of pain or suffering that comes to your mind that you like to think of, whether of another person, something you've heard about, or some of your own pain. It can even be physical pain. You know, so if your body is hurting from meditation, when you're breathing in the same exercise, you imagine you're breathing in through your body into your heart. You imagine you're taking this pain in, allowing it to touch your heart. You know, like with the kindness meditation, on the out-breath, we imagine that we're breathing kind of healing energy out from the heart to, say, the painful knee. And on this way, on the in-breath, we're breathing in from the knee, and imagine that we're taking this pain into the heart. So it's like this, that gesture, isn't it? Taking something to heart, allowing ourselves to be touched. And that can, of course, easily bring up precisely our resistances. Or you feel, well, you know, oh, hang on, it doesn't feel safe, no? We might feel it might be too much, or we might feel, well, if I take on the suffering of somebody else and I take breathe it all into my heart, it might make me sick, you know, then I'm carrying all the suffering around or something. So it is important to do this exercise, to have the faith that we started off with, in this case, the faith and the capacity of the heart, citta, the mind, awareness, you know, to accommodate pain, to feel. So the face, or also the to use the skillful image to not think I'm breathing this into my personal little heart that I'm carrying in my chest, poor thing, which has to kind of beat away just to keep me going, you know, I don't know for how many thousand times a day, and now so I'm going to taking in all this suffering from other people, it's going to be too much. But to imagine our heart to be like a gateway. No, it's not like this, the heart in the sense of awareness is not ultimately something personal, no. But this is a suggestion, you know, just to use this imagery that we trust in awareness itself as a capacity that is like the Tibetans talk about, like the sky-like mind, you know, that has infinite capacity to actually feel and to accommodate also unpleasant feeling and to not take it personally. No, another way of talking about it is like to feel like transparent. You're letting it through. You're allowing yourself to be touched by it, but you're not carrying it personally. Rather, you pass it on to that awareness itself. You might call it universal heart or whatever you want to, you know, imagine about that. And then trust in the capacity of that heart to accommodate it, maybe to transform it even, and the infinite capacity of this heart to give back goodness, well-wishing, and healing. Again, not like just a personal thing, but like something that's beyond you personally. That's I think, that's the deepest experience that we can have of kindness as well. It's not something that we are somehow pumping up in our heart. It's trying to be, you know, I'm trying to be kind to this one, kind to that one. Sometimes we suddenly realize, like, we are held in awareness. We are held in kindness already, which is larger than this us. This is the quality of this awareness, which is not personal, which is larger than us. Just to illustrate that, it comes to mind now that I'm saying this is many years ago when I had just a small experience of that. Maybe it was just my imagination, but that when I was a junior monk, I was in Chithurst in England, I was doing walking meditation in what's called the West Field down there, away from the house. I was doing my walking meditation as I, you know, diligently as I used to do. And then there was the neighbors, they had this little dog, and this dog could be annoyingly friendly. And this dog would run free and it would see you doing the walking meditation and it would kind of run towards you and wanted to play. And this is England and this was the autumn or something, so it would run through the mud and whatever, and then would just come to you and jump up at you. I just washed my sabong, I only got one, you know. And so I do my walking meditation, there comes this hyper-friendly dog running towards me. I said, no, I'm not going to buy into this. I know how to deal with overexcited dogs. So I just ignored it. And it came running to me. I don't just do my walking meditation. So this little dog just come running to me, all excited. And then it stood in the middle of my walking path, full of expectation, kind of looking at me. And I would just walk towards it. And then I would just step over it and just keep walking. And this dog didn't understand. It started to get confused, you know, what's happening here. And then looked very dejected. And I was doing my walking meditation. I was practicing my kindness in my heart. And then I was so mean to this dog. Suddenly it just kind of came up. I said, well, you know, you're so mean. I felt bad about myself. And then there was this moment where I felt this whole situation held in awareness, which wasn't a personal thing, you know, not like my awareness. We're just seeing this as, well, no, I just saw the dog with its need for attention. And it saw me as this junior monk just trying to do its best. And then, well, it wasn't a big deal. So I suddenly felt this kindness, not just for me towards the dog, but the whole situation, a kindness towards me. You know, I just realized there was some awareness of situation that wasn't judging me either. I could just hold that response of myself of reacting this kind of regret towards the dejection of the dog with kindness. The very fact that I felt, oh, pain or the pain by the dog showed that I wasn't cruel. You know, I was actually kind. I noticed that this dog was not happy about my rejection. But that I could also see that, well, there was a point, you know, I didn't want to wash my sabong yet again and so far. So this is just was just a small moment. No, there's not, it wasn't a big situation, but interesting enough, this was many, many years ago. And it just stayed in my mind because the incident might have been comparatively trivial, if you like, but this experience of suddenly noticing kindness, not as something that I was doing for the dog, but it's something that was impersonal, that was beyond me and was holding this, the whole situation, including myself. No? And that was, I felt, was quite important. It shifts the idea about what kindness is about, you know, away from, you know, me trying to be kind. So feeling that quality of awareness itself, which is not personal, we can't objectify it. That is the true source of real kindness, because it just receives and feels the situation. It doesn't make any difference between internal and external. No? Or be it kindness towards myself or the dog. It just holds the whole situation. No, and kindness. There's something that is beyond our personal responsibility and capacity that is already holding that experience. And I think that is the source of kindness. That is this awareness, that is the chitta in its capacity, when it's undefended, when it's open, we've got access to that. And that is not something that I have to construct or that I have to earn, but it's useful to discover that. So to be able to get a connection with that, a conscious connection to that, then it's very, very nourishing. And then you feel held by something in kindness. I think this can help. It's important when we meet resistances, like breathing in the pain, the suffering, and then giving out healing or well-wishing. It's basically a simplified form of the Tibetan practice of Tonglen. That's a very strong compassion meditation that the Tibetans do. They have a formalized way of that. It's a little bit ornate in the kind of formalities around it, which are just cut out for this exercise, to just come to what the essence of it, I think, is this taking into heart the pain and responding with kindness. And if it does bring up the resistance and fear, then this memory of the capacity of a heart that's beyond myself, I think this is very important to be able to actually handle that, to meet those resistances, and to do it, of course, with respect for your own limitations. You know, so don't take on things that you feel you really well. You can't keep up. You know, this is supposed to help you, but if it becomes too much, well, just back off. You know, sometimes, you know, resistance and things that we have, they also have their place. You know, they also try to protect us. You know, so we just experiment with this. We pick maybe up some things. You know, like for example, the little dog. You know, in that case, for me, that wasn't a potentially kind of overwhelming, traumatizing, kind of dramatic kind of event. But we can gain experience, and we said, what's the principle behind this? And then we can practice with leaning into our limitations, you know, pushing a bit against our resistances with care, with responsibility. And so we might gain a little bit more space in our heart, a little bit more capacity to actually respond. Shall we try that, or do you have any questions about that? So the one thing I just wanted to add to that is the saying that also, like, every time that you do that and that you actually do manage and say to just allow yourself to be touched and then do respond from your heart with some form of kindness or well-wishing, you are also reaffirming and strengthening that faith and that capacity of your heart. So it's also, in that sense, an empowering exercise. So I am already explained now basically the whole exercise. So I'm just giving some basic reminders, just about to guide us into that exercise, if you want to try it out. So we offer our attention again to the body. Make sure our attention is well settled in the body, anchored in the body. And so you notice the breathing in the body, then particularly be aware again of the sensations in the front of your body, your belly, the chest. Notice the sensitivities in the center of the chest, the heart area. And the feel most physical bodily resonance is so-called heart emotions, caring, kindness, compassion. Notice what is there, how you feel, whether you're feeling comfortable there, or whether there's numbness or tension, maybe warmth, pressure, anything. So we are connecting with the sense of heart, our awareness, our mind as heart, as its feeling capacity, through the physical heart in the body, that area, very sensitive, emotionally sensitive area. And connecting to the idea of kindness. So whatever works for you, you can bring up the memory image of a person or your favorite dog, for example. Any being that spontaneously kindles your feeling of kindness and care in your heart. And then we express that kindness. Perhaps you're formulating in our mind some phrases of well-wishing, which we can recite internally, addressed to the being, like, may you be well, may you be peaceful, may you be content and safe. We notice any resonances in the body with that expressed sentiment, particularly in the heart area. And then we can use the rhythm of our breaths to keep engaging with that sense of well-wishing, sending out wishes for well-being, like breathing into the heart, resting at the end of the in-breath in the heart is our attention, and then breathing out from the heart, reciting on the out-breath our phrases, general phrases or specific wishes. May you be well, may you be peaceful, may you be happy. Or we imagine this kindness like an energy moving out from our heart with the out-breath, moving out through the body towards wherever we want to direct it. Painful parts in our body or to other people. In our imagination, we can reach out towards them, wishing them well-being, happiness. Or they may be able to achieve and protect their wholesome aims. Breathing into the heart and then breathing out from the heart. May you be well. Breathing into the heart, breathing out. May I be well. May I be peaceful. May I be happy. So that gradually that space of our conscious presence becomes consciously kind, warm-hearted space in which we can receive our experience with kindness, softness of heart. Responding to whatever comes up in a kind-hearted, well-wishing way. Breathing in, may you be well. Breathing in, may I be well. If then if you direct your attention to some form of suffering, perhaps things that come up spontaneously, things that are on your mind, relational issues, suffering of other people or something in your own life, relationships, or maybe simply parts in your body right now which are not feeling good, feeling uncomfortable, tensions, aches. Try to make those conscious, hold those consciously, and then when you're breathing in, imagine that you're breathing in this pain, taking it in, taking it to heart, allowing yourself to be touched by it. And then importantly, don't hold on to it. You're breathing suffering into the heart, allowing it to be received. And then when you're breathing out from the heart, you're giving back kindness, the wish for betterment, for healing. Again, you can imagine an energy moving out from the heart or a light. If you're good at visualizing, you can imagine that light streaming out from your heart at the out-breath, bringing perhaps soothing kind of energy to any pain that you're feeling, or just carrying your goodwill, your good wishes for another person. Then they may regain well-being, they may get better, they may be well again. So breathing in, we are opening up, we are allowing ourselves to feel, even if it's painful. And then on the out-breath, we imagine that we can respond with light, with goodness, with healing. Breathing in the pain and breathing out the healing. If you do notice resistances in response, any pain in response to that, gesture, then start by taking or continue by taking care of them. You know, breathe in that resistance. All that comes up in response, take that into your heart. Accept that too. Allow that to be. Allow yourself to feel that. Take it into the heart, be touched by it. And then breathe out healing and well-wishing towards that resistance, towards that part of yourself that hurts. Remember, compassion, like kindness, has always to begin with ourselves. It's difficult to extend our compassion to others if we can't feel compassion for our own suffering, our own pain. So on the in-breath, taking that into our heart, just to acknowledge that, just to feel that. You don't need to carry it. You're letting go of it. You're letting it through. And on the out-breath, we are reaffirming our capacity, the capacity of our heart to give or to channel a good energy, a healing energy, to bring healing to our wounds and the wounds of others. So taking the wound into the heart, breathing it in, and then giving healing energy from the heart to the pain, to the suffering. So you can experiment with that. Or what, or on, in whichever way it is most suitable for you. Just be patient with it. Don't expect any kind of traumatic results. Really just to notice this feeling of softening, willingness to feel and to be, make space for what is uncomfortable. And also affirming that we can have that space, we can allow ourselves to feel. And whenever it becomes too strong, we can always step back a bit, just go back to simple kindness towards yourself. You can always choose to just step back from any images or thoughts about a particular kind of suffering, and just by redirecting, keeping the attention in the body. If the heart becomes too achy, too painful, just find parts in your body that are more neutral, like notice the contact with the floor, notice the structure of the body, or feel your hands. Parts of your body that you can clearly kind of feel, but which are less emotionally charged, you know, to get established some balance, some grounding. And stay with the sentiment of kindness. Kindness towards yourself.
So we are coming closer to the end of this meditation. If you are leaving this exercise of extending compassion, and it's a good idea to always end with just some kindness towards yourself. And as I said, if you feel that things have been activated in your heart, your body, to move your attention to parts in your body that feel emotionally neutral or reassuring, contact with the floor, the hands or the feet, perhaps the central axis of the body, the spine, the frame of the body, structure. Taking in the whole field of sensations, indicating the body, allowing that space of the body to accommodate, to hold whatever you feel inside it, all the different sensations. And as the breath moves through that field of sensations, extending or offering a soothing, kind, well-wishing energy towards yourself. May I be well. May I be peaceful. May I be contented. May I be able to build or maintain resources, hold some resources to maintain and protect my well-being. May all beings be well, and may they be peaceful.